Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a question you may never have thought of. Crosswords have been part of our life and culture for nearly a century now, but who builds them and how on earth do they do it? Well, we seek to answer lots of different questions here on Open House, and that includes this one, and maybe how faith fits in to the puzzle. So meet David Stickley, one of Australia's best-known crossword creators. David, welcome to Open House.
Hi, Lee.
Great to have you along tonight. First, can you give us a bit of a potted history of the crossword? As I said, they've been around for just on a century, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. In 2 years, it'll be the 100 years. So a guy called Arthur Wynne, who was actually an Englishman, he had an idea for something that resembles today's crossword. And he was working in an American newspaper and was told to fill a space. And he came up with this idea, and he called it a word cross, and it was published in the New York World in 1913. And it didn't spark a huge change to anything. For about 10 years, it just floated around. But Simon and Schuster, who are still big publishers, published the first crossword book in about 1924, and it sold 450,000 copies in a few months. And basically from that point, both sides of the Atlantic took on the crossword, and it just grew and grew from a weekly to a daily.
Those kind of numbers make a publisher sit up
absolutely
and take notice.
Yes.
Why do you think people do them?
That's a good question. I think they became a daily thing because people like to have regular things to do. And if you look at a newspaper, it's got so many different things every day, but there's some constant things like the crossword. And you can turn to the same page every time. And it's a personal challenge. There's no real threat with a crossword. You know, you're not doing it against anybody. It's just yourself.
Yes.
And you have a choice of different types of crosswords. And so, you know, a personal challenge, and people like to learn. I think they're a great learning tool. That's, in fact, how I got into crosswords in the first place.
Okay.
My English teacher at school was mad about cryptic crosswords. So we'd come into class and we'd take out the Guardian crossword, which was published in the Sun Herald back in the 70s, and we would solve it as a class and take all week to do it. I don't think you could actually do that in today's English curriculum.
No, but it's an enlightened way of teaching English, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And at the end of the week, we would write it up like you would study a poem. So we'd stick it in a book and we'd talk about the idioms and the new words and history and geography, because they're often in the crossword. So so after a year, in year 10, so I was 15 years old, I was pretty good at solving them. And so were most of my class.
Do you have to have a special ability, do you think?
Ah.
Or is it something that you can do well with practice?
Well, I think practice in anything is good. But people might be surprised to know that my worst subject in the HSC was English, and my best subject was maths.
Okay.
And I think there is a relationship, especially with cryptic crosswords.
I bet there is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have a way of thinking that is quite lateral, and that makes cryptic crosswords easier for me.
What was it that led you to take that step from actually doing the crosswords to making them?
That's a good question. Because I learnt young, I learnt how to solve at a young age, I actually got a little bit bored with solving them.
Okay.
The Guardian is seen as probably the second toughest crossword out there. The Times is probably the best. And I was able to solve that at home as a 15 or 16 year old. And I just got a little bit bored and I thought I'd have a go at writing my own clues. And I remember my brother, who followed the year after in the same class, looked at some of my clues and just laughed, you know.
Thanks for your encouragement.
I had no idea. I had a normal life after school. I studied at uni and I became a computer programmer. And all the time I'm thinking, if I could just get one right cryptic crossword and get one published every now and then, that would sort of give me a little bit of extra income. And maybe when I retire, it's something I can pursue. And so I worked on it and I worked on it. And I actually got a break. I got very lucky. There was a crossword in the Financial Review that was really, really tough. And a friend of mine wrote to the Financial Review and said, I've got a friend who writes crosswords that are more mainstream. Maybe you should give him a go. And so they actually gave me a go every second week. And within 6 months, I actually took on the role.
You're in.
I was in. And I was still working, though. So I don't know if you can imagine a guy sitting in a train with a big bag of books, thesaurus, dictionaries, folders. I was plugging away at my clues, you know, because that really was the only chance I got to solve and to create my crosswords.
Yes.
And so my main crossword's called the Stickler, and even though it's a pun on my name, I've become known as the Stickler.
It's a great name to use.
So I don't cross the line. There are lines you can cross, and people do cross them. And I don't. And I think my crosswords are more like the traditional crosswords that people, especially from England, know.
Okay, without completely scrambling our brain on a Sunday night, can you take us through the process briefly that you go through?
I have a set of about 70 crossword grids, and I open one up, and my crossword program allows me to say which word list I want to use. And I say, use this word list, and it finds the hardest part of the crossword to fill and says, which word do you want to put in there? And it gives me a choice based on what the possible intersections are. So obviously, if a word crosses on a Z, it's not as good as a word that crosses on an E. So it weights the words. And once the grid is completed, that might take me half an hour, I'll just go through one by one and write the clues. And in the crossword program I have, I can link to the internet. I can check things like Wikipedia, the Chambers Dictionary, the Macquarie Dictionary, thesauruses, you name it. I'll check all of those and come up with some sort of clue for each word.
But it's not just about a program. You must have a vast vocabulary and a vast understanding instinctively that you just understand how it works.
Well, yes and no. I often, people say, well, come to our trivia night, I'm sure you'll be really good, you know. And I'm not really.
Really?
I still love science and sport like I always used to. I think it's because even though I see lots of words, unless you use them on a daily basis, and I'm basically shut in my office at home most of the day, I don't interact with a lot of people, unless you use words all the time, they don't really get added to your vocab. So
you mentioned before that they rarely change in the newspaper. That is quite a reality, because the publishers, for instance, some of your newspapers are afraid to change things because people are so gripped by the puzzle page.
Well, anyone who knows the Daily Telegraph puzzle page will know that apart from a few font changes and, you know, resizings, the content hasn't changed in the 14 years that I've been doing it. And a couple of times we've floated changing things, but no one can decide what to get rid of, you know, because they're too afraid to upset people.
Big decision.
And I mean, I don't mind that. I think it's great.
How long does it take you to do a crossword?
To
build one.
To build one.
Yes.
If I was doing a cryptic crossword, that would take me the best part of three and a half hours. And that's actually pretty fast. I've done over 5,000 cryptics now in my career, which is actually a lifetime in just about any other newspaper. It's because I do it every day in the Daily Telegraph.
It's an amazing achievement.
So I've got lists all over the place. Everything's hooked up to my program, so I can do things fast. If you take the Sydney Morning Herald quick crossword, I could put that together. It's got 32 clues in it. I could put that together in about 20 minutes.
There's a real pressure to get it right, though, isn't there?
Ah, yes, it's...
I bet you're here with it.
Oh, absolutely. Not. And there are, you know, there are blogs and news groups and they'll pull apart everything. And I relatively recently got published in the UK for the first time. And that's scary.
I bet.
It's really scary. You know, they have a whole website devoted to, you know, pulling apart crosswords. And you don't really have any comeback. You might think something's right, but ultimately if the solver thinks something's wrong, it's wrong, you know?
I mentioned your faith before, and that's crossed over into your work?
In a small way. Obviously, when I'm writing crosswords, I could put something in which is a bit risque.
Yes.
But I choose not to. And of course, people don't know what you don't put in. And when it comes to things like holiday crosswords, I've done Easter crosswords before, and they're really hard because Easter means different things to different people. And I want to, put Christ-like things in there.
And there's less and less of a general knowledge about Christian faith, I suppose.
Absolutely. And, you know, if it's a bit overt, then people will complain. Absolutely. People find all sorts of things to complain about.
I can only begin to imagine. Yeah. Do you think you've been given a gift from God to do this? Because I think as a schmuck, this is a really clever thing to be able to do.
I'm not sure. My wife says I think differently. Right? Of course, I don't think I think differently.
Most wives tell their husbands that.
I think normally. it's a skill, and I think other people would have my skill if they had done what I had done. I think I have a gift. I really like talking to people and being with people. And doing crosswords actually took me out of that.
It's okay. Interesting, yes.
So I was working in a computer environment in Teams, and I would organise events, and I would do all these sorts of things. And then when I left, I worked at home alone. And so this was actually quite hard for me, and it's still relatively hard for me. And I sort of try and make up for it by inviting people around for dinner all the time because I like to talk and be with people.
Yes.
But I'm not sure how in fact I'm serving God, except I have a lot more time than I used to. And my wife now works with me doing crosswords, and she serves at the church and stuff much more than she used to when she was working full time. So in a sideways way, and that maybe that's true. Yeah.
I take it you like your job. It sounds like you do.
I have ups and downs. You know, people will talk about hobbies that turn into jobs and then they become jobs, you know, and that's sort of what's happened. But every now and then I get a boost.
What does that for you?
People saying they like my clues, or I get random emails from people saying, I've been doing the stickler for 10 years and I found you on the net and I just wanted to say thanks. You know, being published in the UK was really good. I think I could die a happy crossword compiler now because I've been published in the United States and I've been published in the UK. And so I sort of feel complete.
It's a tremendous achievement. I think you're really smart. You don't have to say that about yourself, but I've really enjoyed having our discussion tonight. Dave Stickley, thank you so much for joining us on Open House.
No worries, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.